Hello, Scott. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're really looking forward to hearing more about you and your research. But to begin, could you tell us a bit more about who you are, where you work, and what you're currently working on, please?
So my name is Professor Scott Montgomery. I work at Örebro University and Örebro University Hospital in Sweden. I'm a clinical epidemiologist, and my main area of research is on the causes, consequences, and treatment of multiple sclerosis.
Perfect, thank you. And could you now tell us a bit more about your paper and why this topic is so important, please?
Well, multiple sclerosis is not completely understood in terms of its causes. Infection by some agents, such as Epstein-Barr virus, EBV, has been suspected as a risk for MS. And in this study, we examined whether other infections could also be implicated in the etiology of MS. To do this, we followed around 2.5 million people in Sweden to examine if serious infections at different ages are associated with subsequent MS. You need to take a longitudinal approach such as this with relatively long follow-up because there appears to be a long interval between a disease triggering event and a diagnosis of MS as the disease develops slowly over a number of years. And what we found was that serious infections, serious meaning they needed hospital treatment between ages 11 and 20 years, were associated with raised MS risk in 20s, 30s, 40s, subsequent years. But interestingly, not infections in earlier childhood. Infections before age 11 were not associated with increased risk. And this is probably due to age-related changes in the immune and nervous systems. What we found was that a variety of bacterial and viral infections in adolescence were associated with MS risk. Not all infections are a risk, probably because some of them don't cause inflammation in the central nervous system that we think triggers the autoimmune process that destroys myelin and thus damages nerves in the brain and spinal cord. We saw a particularly high magnitude association for infections directly of the central nervous system of the brain, meningitis and encephalitis, while infections not associated with MS were things like skin infections, probably because they didn't result in inflammation in the brain. Respiratory infections of the lungs, were also associated with increased risk. And this may be because T cells can be licensed. These immune cells can be programmed in the lungs to cross the blood-brain barrier and create a pro-inflammatory environment in the brain, thus possibly triggering the autoimmunity that ultimately leads to an MS diagnosis. It was interesting that infections in adolescence were associated with MS that was often diagnosed more than 15 years later. And this helps us to better understand the sorts of exposures that are risk factors for MS, and this long duration between exposure and diagnosis. Does this help with prevention? Well, possibly ensuring treatment of inflammation in the CNS during the acute phase of the infection could reduce some of the severe sequelae and could be beneficial for multiple outcomes, including reducing MS risk. Protection from severe infection is, of course, important for many reasons. And this can be achieved through ways such as immunization programs, which will prevent the acute disease and the delayed consequences such as MS.
Perfect. Thank you. That was extremely insightful and very interesting. And on to the next question. You might have slightly touched on this, but what's the connection between your research and medical practice? And how do you hope that maybe your work will have an impact on therapies or treatments in the future?
Well, first of all, there is a long prodromal phase in MS. So there is disease activity, but MS isn't diagnosed and it's difficult to treat. So by understanding things that can trigger the disease and this early phase, it may assist with diagnosis and treatment at an earlier time. And importantly, we've provided yet another reason to prevent serious infections in adolescents. So I think this adds to the existing public health message that we can consider extending some vaccination programs, for example.
Definitely. Well, thank you very much for that. And now on to the final question. Where could your work lead you next? And what's the dream outcome here for you?
Well, what we do is, what we hope to do is identify some more specific patterns of infection, possibly related to severity and duration and other characteristics, to better identify MS risk. What is the most likely pattern that will lead to MS? And we're also thinking about vaccination strategies and how they can be modified to protect from some diseases in adolescents, with the additional benefit of reducing MS risk.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Scott, and best of luck with your future work.